Almost thought I didn't bring my sermon with me tonight. That would have been bad. Then we would have had to done impromptu. And that's always longer. Thank God for the sermon outline. Impromptu. Ooh, my soul. Ezekiel chapter 7, Galatians chapter 6. Ezekiel chapter 7, Galatians chapter 6. The title of the message tonight is Reaping What We've Sown 60 Years Ago. Reaping What We've Sown 60 Years Ago. Ezekiel chapter 7. Look at verse 15. A desolation of Israel. They've wronged God so many times, off and on. God's been patient. God's been merciful. God has been long-suffering. Notice what it says. The sword is without, and the pestilence and the famine within. He that is in the field shall die with the sword, and he that is in the city, famine and pestilence shall devour him. But they that escape of them shall escape and shall be on the mountains like doves of the valleys, all of them mourning every one for his iniquity. All hands shall be feeble and all knees shall be weak as water. Look at verse 23. Make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes and the city is full of violence. Wherefore I will bring the worst of the heathen, and they shall possess the houses. I will also make the pomp of the strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled. Destruction cometh, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. Father, I pray you give us understanding and wisdom tonight to recognize that your hand of grace is upon us and upon our nation still, that you're long-suffering and you're merciful, but even your patience has an end to it. I pray for our nation that we might continue to return to God, even as our court system has reversed that horrible law of allowing abortion on demand. I pray now, Lord, at least the whole nation will not suffer because of it, but only those states that not only allow it, but make money from it and encourage it. I pray your forgiveness of my sin, and I pray that tonight, Holy Spirit, you give liberty and grace to speak. Bring about the bluntness of our national sins and what we're reaping at this moment and all the chaos and the frustration that's about us. It's in Jesus' name I ask it all. Amen. Be seated. Make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes and the city is full of violence. Chicago, Detroit, New York, Atlanta, bloody crimes, bloody crimes. Whenever we have a situation in America, the once proud, the once great Democratic Party of today says never let a situation go to waste. In other words, make much of it. They double down on gun control. I've heard it till I'm nauseated with it. They double down on it, but yet when Roe versus Wade has been reversed, thank God for it, they cry out loud. And there was one 19-year-old that they interviewed, and she said she felt like her country didn't love her anymore. She felt lost in the masses of people without help and without control over her own body. and she just felt like America was going in the wrong direction. 19 years old, how do you get to be that dumb that fast? And you brainwash. They've been brainwashed by the people they've associated with, by the people they've been around in the public school systems, the colleges and the universities. They've been brainwashed. Well, it's the woman's right. It's the woman's choice. It's just another form of birth control. What it is, you and I know very well what it is. It's murder.
That's right.
But they don't go to jail for it. It's cold-blooded murder in degree one. Premeditated murder. I'm going to get rid of this thing within me. It's my womb. It's my body. I can do what I... But no, that's not your life. That's a life of a child that you conceived and brought into this world. It floors me that people do not see it like we see it. Why don't they? They have a veil over their eyes. And they're so indulging themselves in a wicked lifestyle that not only condones but propagates this horrendous act of ending a pregnancy so simply as this, that it becomes part of a nation's crimes against God. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, Jehovah God, Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is not the God of America at the present time. And we are reaping what we've sown 60 years ago. We're reaping it right now. Oh, and the politicians don't want to accept the blame for it. They want to pass the buck and say, what do we do? What do we do? Second Amendment, guns are the problem. Wait a minute. Automobiles kill more people every year than guns do. Why don't we ban automobiles? Oh, you say, well, those are drunk drivers or people on text messages and doing these kinds of things and they're distracted. Automobiles kill more people than guns do in America every year. Abortion kills more people in America every year. Oh, but they're not a human being until they began to breathe air. Who gave you that definition? God said to Jeremiah, I knew you in your mother's womb before you were even formed. When you were nothing but a glob, I knew you. If God knew Jeremiah, he knew me, he knew you, he knew every aborted child. I believe every aborted child, one positive thing about it is every aborted child will be in heaven when we get there. Thank God for that. But we are reaping what we've sown 60 years ago. Make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes. Yes, it is. But they're not all committed by a gun. Bloody crimes, and the city is full of violence. Yes, it is. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 7 and verse 8, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It seems as though that with people in America today, and I don't mean me and you, but I mean that dark side of America, that there is some kind of a badge given. There is some kind of honor assumed when someone kills a police officer. And they are being slain around the nation by the scores. It's not right. Assassinated, shot in the head in the, while they sit in the car, and assassinated. It's not right. An emergency staged, and then when they show up, they're picked off one by one. It's not right. We're reaping from our childbearing practices of 60 years ago. What happened? We had a bunch of hippies come on the scene 60 years ago that believed in free love and, you know, Dr. Spock. Remember Dr. Spock? The the psychiatrist, and he was telling everybody how to raise their children now. Don't spank your kids. Don't say no to them. Train them this way with love and this way. Yeah. And because we didn't spank them and because we didn't give them the boundaries, now they're out of control. And their grandchildren are the ones who's committing all of these atrocities in America today. We're reaping. Look at Proverbs chapter 13. Hang with me. I have a stump tonight. I have a soapbox, and then I'll be finished. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. To seek early or earnestly, looking for diligently, betimes. So what's the earliest you spanked your child? Maybe a year old, just a spat, to say, no, that's wrong. Don't do that. Stop that crying. You're not wet. You're not hungry. You're not frightened. You're just crying for attention. Now go to sleep. Just spat on that padded behind with that diaper on. You say, I don't believe in that. It worked. You find parents today saying, "That's all those things are archaic. That's what my grandparents did. They're archaic. Spanking. Corporal punishment. That's not right." Well, God said it was, because God does it to us when we get out of line. He disciplines us. He spanks us with a rod. And then he breaks the rod. We're reaping from our childbearing practices where we have spared the rod. Look at what he says. He that spares his rod hates his son, hates his child. You do not give correction. It takes time and energy to correct your child. It takes time and energy and self-discipline to be consistent with your child. One of the problems with parents who do occasionally discipline is that they're not consistent with it. One time it's this way, the next time it's that way, and one time it's severe, the next time it's not severe at all, and they don't know how and what and why. Follow after God. He that spareth his rod hateth his child. He will not take time to discipline the child. And you know the word discipline comes from the word disciple, don't you? So we are discipling a child to behave a certain way according to Scripture, not according to Spock, not according to Lennon, not according to Mayo, but according to God. We are training a child to act and behave a certain way because God said this is the way they're to behave. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 31. Proverbs 15, verse 31. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Boy, somebody get on my case and tell me how it is, and you're not doing right, and this is wrong. And so, listen, I'm listening. I may not like it, but I'm listening. Did I do wrong? Did I not do this right? The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. Oh, teenagers get to this point in life sometimes. They think they're too big to be corrected, too big to be disciplined, too big to be spanked. Let me tell you. Notice what he says. He that refuseth instruction despises his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. We're reaping because the very next verse, verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. We've taught our children, I'm saying as a society in America. I've not taught mine, you've not taught yours. But we're reaping. Why is all of this happening now? Why is all of this chaos? Why all of this crime and murder and killing and rape? And why? I tell you why. Because it's parents' fault. Parents have failed to raise. You say, but these are single parents. I'm telling you, parents have failed to raise their children. You say, but these are single parents and these parents and this and that. That's the fault. That's the problem. Dads have run away from the families and moms have run away from the family and their obligation, their responsibility to the children. And for 60 years we've been doing that, and it's compounded and gotten worse and worse and worse. It used to be years ago when I first got the statistic that 30% of the children in America did not have a mother and a father in the home. Now it's over 75%. 75% do not have a real mother and a real father in home. Good grief. No wonder. And it's gotten worse and worse and worse the farther we go. Because no one's corrected it. No one's changed it. No one has tried to make it better. Some see it as an advantage for their lifestyle to continue the way it is. A permissive lifestyle. One that does not honor God and that does not train children in the correct way. We're reaping from our childbearing practices of 60 years ago. We need to train children and train them correctly. But they need attention. Notice in Ephesians chapter 6 what Paul writes to children. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 through 4. Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." We have a problem here. We have a problem. The problem is not that children are disobeying. We have a problem that parents are failing to guide in the Lord. Parents are not guiding in the Lord. I know of parents that are more concerned about getting their teenage daughter's birth control so they won't get pregnant during their lifestyle more than they are about teaching them abstinence. You know what I'm saying? Say amen right there. Because that's a truth. That's a society we live in today. You find the government pushing birth control in junior high school now and high school. Free. All you have to do, you don't have to tell your parents, just come get it. I mean, that's the way it is. The lifestyles of our nation, we're reaping from our childbearing practices of 60 years ago. Children need attention. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Well, it'd be nice if we had parents that were teaching us in the Lord. It'd be nice if parents were teaching their children all of the abstinence of alcohol and drugs based upon Scripture says this and God says this. It'd be nice if parents were telling their children to abstain from sexual relationships until they're married and they have a husband or a wife. Because this is God's will and God's law, and that fornication is having sexual relationships outside of the marriage vows and the marriage bed. And God detests it and hates it. It's one of the sins that was so great that caused Israel to fail and fall. We are reaping. America's reaping. Our children need attention. They need attention from parents in the Lord doing that which is right. And then he says, "Children, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." There again, godly fathers following a godly plan of nurturing children. Yes, with discipline, but encouraging them and nurturing them little by little and bringing them along through the word of the Lord. And thus saith the Lord. They need attention. They need attention in church. We need to be obvious that, you know, bringing these children to church and teaching and training them and realizing they don't have a father at home or they don't have a mother at home or they don't have one of this. Some places their grandparents are raising them. Children need to be taught not to follow the crowd. Proverbs 13 and 20, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." We're reaping in America practices that began 60 years ago. We're reaping in America some of the evil and the perilous and the savage things. We're reaping that because we have neglected to punish crime completely. We have failed to punish crime. Some of the third world countries still take it serious when crime is committed. In some of the third world countries, if you're a thief, you're branded. And if you're caught stealing a second time, they cut off your hand. And if you're caught stealing a third time, they cut off the other hand. And then if it continues, they cut off your head. And it's done. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Boy, what would that do in America? Might turn some people around. Listen, we're reaping because we've neglected to punish crime. Look what he says in Genesis chapter 9. Before the law of Moses was given, Genesis chapter 9, when men began to populate the world and upon the face of the earth, in Genesis chapter 9, God put it in the book, and he said in verse number 6, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." That's pretty simple. That's pretty plain. What does that mean, preacher? What does that mean? Are you kidding me? You don't know? What does it mean? It means if you shed somebody's blood, you kill somebody, then the men are getting together and you're going to die the same way. "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." In Proverbs chapter 28, I have it listed. I don't know why I listed that. I can't remember the verse. Proverbs 28 and verse 11. It's not verse 11, it's verse 17. Yeah. Proverbs 28:17, "A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit." He's not going to solitary confinement. He's going down, buddy. He's going to end up in hell if he doesn't repent before he gets executed. He's going to die. "A man that doeth violence to the blood of any person shall flee to the pit. Let no man stay him." In other words, all the little pacifist screamers that said, "Oh, it's unconstitutional, it's so horrible and cruel, and it's not right to kill somebody in an electric chair or a gas chamber. It's just not right." Well, if they had a speedy consequence of their crime, and they were put to death while people remembered who they were and what they did, I guarantee you it'd be a deterrent to crime. Speedy. I don't mean 30 years from now. I don't mean 10 different trials. Found guilty, you're going to die. You're going to die next week. Not 10 years, 20 years down the road, next week. You hear people all the time. The news says, "Well, so-and-so was put to death in the gas chamber, and 30 years ago he shot a policeman in Dallas-Fort Worth area, and well, 30 years ago, nobody, who remembers that? Nobody knows about that." Make it a modern-day situation, and young people and old people get the point and realize that they're going to get by with this. Look in the book of Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 17. See if you can understand this one. Leviticus 24:17, "And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death." No lifetime sentence or even solitary confinement. It's over. No, but you know why we are having this problem in America today? Because people have gotten weak and passive. Civil government is ruling and reigning in the place of God. Civil government is to be the arm of God for the safety of God's people here on this earth.
And when civil government does not put these people to death that have been found guilty of this crime and make it a deterrent for others to follow, they are not upholding their godly responsibility for the nation or the country, the city. He that killeth any man shall be surely put to death. That's pretty plain. We're reaping what we've sown because we've neglected to punish crime. Someone started a petition and saying it's just so inhumane and cruel to put someone in an electric chair. Years ago when I was growing up in Arkansas, that was the method of capital punishment, an electric chair at the state prison. And I remember in my mind several instances when I knew someone had just been put to death. One of the passive governors got elected. I'm not sure if it was Bill Clinton or who it was, but in that era. And they said, we're not any longer going to use this electric chair. That is inhumane. And they dismantled it and stuck it in storage. After that, the crime rate in Arkansas, as you guessed it, started up. And it climbed and it climbed and it climbed. And finally, after I was married and living there for a while, I remember quite well that one of our governors ran on the petition that he was going to bring the, they had a nickname for it, I forget what it, Old Ironsides or something, for the electric chair. And he ran on the ticket that he was going to bring it out of storage and put it back together and start capital punishment again for those who deserved it. And he won with a landslide. People wanted that. Not only that, but after they executed the first man during his administration, crime started back down again. It is a deterrent. But you and I have seen that permissive lifestyle and those permissive kinds of parents let their children go crazy and live any way they want to, booze it up and drug it up and have baby after baby after baby. I know people in East Texas now that are grandparents raising their child's children that they have had out of wedlock again and again and again and again. It's crazy. It's nuts. Where does it begin? It begins with the parents. It most certainly does. The fault lies with the parents. We're reaping. We're reaping because we've neglected to punish crime. We fail to send out our voices and say, we want this, we need this, we should have this. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 8. Ecclesiastes, chapter 8, verse 11, says this. Now listen very carefully. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Again and again and again. That's when we, in our court system, give repeal after repeal after repeal after repeal after repeal, as long as they can come up with the money to pay the lawyer, or if they're a very popular individual and the lawyer gets more business by representing this person, it's all about money, it'll come to pass. I think they ought to have one repeal and that's it. It has to take place within the first 6 months of their sentence and then carry out the execution. We are living in this chaos in America. It's not just America, it's worldwide, but it's worse here. We're living in this chaos in America where everyone's pointing fingers and blaming everyone else. No, 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 you don't understand. This didn't happen yesterday. What we're living in now did not take place last week. It's a product of having sown these permissive ways 60 years ago and not taking them down, but leaving them in place, and now we're beginning to reap horribly that permissive lifestyle that started 60 years ago. Not only are we reaping because we've neglected to punish crime, we're also reaping because we've said sin is simply a sickness or a disease. Sin is a sickness or a disease. Let me tell you something. That last shooter that shot up that grade school classroom down in Uvalde, Texas, did not have a disease or a sickness except sin. He was full of sin and he was full of evil. And they want to put a tag on it. Well, it's mental instability. It's mental. No, it's sin. It comes from the heart. It doesn't come from the brain. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, murders, fornications. That's where it starts, in the heart. So how do you stop that? Well, not everybody's going to become a child of God. But my goodness, when I was in high school, all the way up and all the way through, we had an intercom system. And every morning we heard Bible verses being read over the intercom when we were in public school. We had prayer early in the morning to start the day. We pledged to the American flag. We quoted the Ten Commandments that was posted on the walls. And everyone had an understanding and a fear of God. They may not have become a born-again Christian, but they had a fear of God, and they knew if they crossed God that something bad was going to happen. And at least they respected God because of it. Nowadays, there's no fear, there's no respect, there's no sense of obligation, no sense of responsibility. We're here to have a good time. We're in this life to have someone pay us and do for us so we can have fun and have a great time. That's the sense that we get from young people today. We're reaping because we've said sin is simply a sickness or disease. So we have a major new gun control act been signed by the senators. The biggie of it is millions and millions and millions of dollars thrown at mental health. Mental health. And along with that is a red flag that anyone can say, hey, I think Jim is losing it and he's dangerous. You better go check him out. And the first thing that happens is the police department comes down and takes every gun out of your house. He's mentally unstable. Somebody can accuse you. Your preacher can do it. Your wife can do it. One of your children, a neighbor, somebody that works with you. I think he's unstable. Red flag. Now we want to get him mental health. That's not the problem with the crime going on in America today. It's a heart problem. It's not the mental problem. It's the heart problem. You look in Isaiah chapter 5 in verse number 20. Isaiah 5 and verse number 20. Woe unto them that call evil good. What about the whole Democratic party that talks about abortion as being the rights of the mother, the rights of the woman? Oh, it's so horrible that what was that? What did Joe Biden call us? Not the far right, but something that was a slur about being, you know, so straight-laced. There's an element in America that's pushing and taking over, and we've got to change this and stop this. Basically, the far right is responsible for Roe versus Wade being overturned, and the far right now is trying to control the Republican Party, and the far right now are so horrible and mean and ugly and cruel. No, it's you. You're the one that calls evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, that put darkness for light. They took the only light that most children ever see in their lifetime because they do not have godly parents that take them to church or send them to church, and the only light they would see would be in a public school system where they were in a group where they prayed together in Jesus' name, where they heard the Bible, God's word, the truth of God's word, not preached but read over an intercom, and at least get that much of God's word and realize we're one nation under a God, under God, and we're obligated and responsible and fear God. No, they don't even get that much. So here's part of that Democratic Party that put darkness for light because they said it's unconstitutional for us to name our God and cause other little kids to sit in the classroom and hear that name. It's unconstitutional to say Jesus. It's unconstitutional for to call him Elohim. It's unconstitutional for Allah. So we just won't have any God. Oh, well, you're smart. That's real smart. Did it have an immediate effect? Not immediately. You saw no change, no difference immediately. But after a few generations, you began to see unmarried sex. You began to see illicit children, the numbers on the rise. You began to see abortions on the rise because they have to get rid of the illegitimate babies before they're born. And all of those kinds of things. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. We're headed in all the wrong directions in America. We're allowing a group of people to say that this is birth control. This is not about a life. That's not a life in that womb until it is born and it breathes air. That's why they could go within hours of birth. And as long as they kept that baby in the womb, I don't want to say the horribleness of it, but they could kill that child while holding him in the womb as long as he's not fully delivered. Tell me that's not murder. If you were caught doing that to a horse or a cow trying to give birth, or to an eagle's egg where a baby eagle was trying to poke its way out and you stomped it and destroyed it, you'd be put in federal prison. But you can kill a human being without any problems. We're reaping because we have said sin is simply a sickness or a disease. It's a mental illness. And we want red flag, and we want mental illness, and we want more money for mental illness. You do better if you put that money in a program to get God and righteousness back in the school systems. And realize this is not going to be a solution overnight, but it will be a solution in the long run. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we know those verses. You've heard me preach them so many times. 2 Timothy 3 was a sign of today. And Jesus said there were going to be days like this. In Uvalde, how can a young man have such evil intent in his heart? Was it his mother or his grandmother he shot? Yeah. And then all those children and those teachers. How can somebody be so evil? When you're so full of Satan, Satan has no mercy whatsoever. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." Is there any argument that we're there? Perilous times shall come. The word perilous literally means savage. Savage. That was not the gun's fault in Uvalde. And listen, I forget the statistic, but there are multiple millions and millions and millions and multiple millions, like in the hundreds of millions, of guns in the hands of law-abiding citizens and law-abiding people. Somebody said not long ago, hey, if guns were the problem and we were the problem, you would have already known about it. It's those few that are evil and have evil intentions that might have been different and might have been changed 60 years ago if the system was different. You've seen those pictures and the Facebook postings of schools, high schools, having gun clubs and shooting teams. And hey, listen, I remember every boy in school that had a pickup truck and drove them to our high school, kept the windows rolled down for it to be cool in there, and had a gun rack in the back window with a rifle or a shotgun hanging in it every day at school. We didn't have a problem. There were no problems. Why? We respected God. We respected human life. We respected authority. We're reaping today because we've said sin is simply a disease. No, it's not. It's savage. It's demonic. It's evil. That's what it is. It's not a sickness. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. There's two good words that describe America. Unthankful and unholy. Unholy. If they're not holy, what are they? They're profane. They're profane. You find in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Yeah. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2 says that it is your sins that have separated between you and your God that he will not hear. We have posers in the Christian world that says, I'm a Christian, and they may very well be. Born again individual, but not living what they supposedly are. Righteousness, right living and godly standards lifts a nation up. I've never seen a day and age like today. I used to be way out on the farm and, you know, not see a small town, grocery store, movie theater, anything, maybe for weeks. Working on the farm from sun up to sundown. We finally take a break or it's finally time to go get groceries. And I remember the first, we had a truck and it wasn't a car. Our vehicle, we had had a car, but it was broken or something. And man, my sister and I piled in the bed of that pickup truck, my mom and dad in the cab, and we took off to town. But before we went, we took a bath and washed up and combed our hair and put our clean blue jeans on and tucked our shirt down in the inside of it and put a belt on. Oh, but we had one of the fads of the day. We didn't wear socks in our penny loafers. I see that's back now. But we were dressing up to go to town to buy groceries. Clean blue jeans and a clean shirt inside, da-da-da, hair comb. Boy, we've come a long way, haven't we? I mean, really. I see men and women all the time in the grocery stores and different places. I said, my goodness, it ought to be against the law for them to get out in public like that. It's eye pollution. You know what I'm saying? Eye pollution. You don't need details. Man. And I tell you what I hate to see. I hate to go to a restaurant and try to eat, and some man's got on flip-flops sitting over there and his old hairy, ugly feet sticking out there. It just turns my stomach. We dressed down. Man, guys used to put on their cowboy boots and their blue jeans and their belt and tuck their shirt in and go. Now they're making shirts that primarily go on the outside. I have a few of them. That's okay, but they look nice. But we've dressed down. We've dumbed down. We're not as educated as we used to be. I'm reading books that were written 100 years ago. And I have to look up some of the words. I don't know what they are. And I say, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Wow, they were saying this 100 years ago. Whoa. We've dumbed down. We're reaping a society. This is number four. It's number four of 17. Not really. Number four, we're reaping a society built on sex. It all began 60 years ago. That permissive lifestyle, the hippies and the crazies. Man, I had classmates in my small hometown. I think I had about 33 people graduate in my class. 33. And about half of them were the hippie crowd. They wanted to go that route, you know, and they were nuts. And I can tell you how many of them have died already from the lifestyle they were living. And they thought, I was square and I was a nerd, but they're already dead and in the grave and have been for 20 years or more. I have classmates that were of that lifestyle that I was told not long ago, said, well, you know that so-and-so is an alcoholic, don't you? I said, no. Yeah, and so-and-so was on drugs for years and fried their brain. That's why they're like, I said, are you kidding me? No, this is happening. So you probably know people like that too. But we're reaping a society built on permissiveness and sex. That's nothing new. That's the oldest selling advertisement in the world. You ever noticed how every commercial that comes on, and it used to be a lot worse than it is now, that every commercial that comes on has some kind of sex in there to sell? Well, what's that? What's the purpose of that? What's the purpose of that cleavage? What's the purpose of that bodily shape? What's the purpose of that when you're trying to sell soap? What's the purpose of that? I'm not stupid. I know what you're doing. Oh, if I buy this kind of soap, I'm going to be sexy. Yeah. Oh, come on. You got to have a little hair to be sexy. I know. We're reaping a society built upon sex. Oh, listen, stop and think about it. Go back and read your history books. All the great world empires have fallen from within. And they fell primarily because the populace of those nations was bent upon open sex and pleasure. I just want to be happy. You ever hear anybody? I just want to be happy. I deserve to be happy. I just want to be happy. God didn't promise you you were going to be happy. God promised you if you followed him, you'd be holy and you'd be next to him and then you'd be happy. But God never promised you you'd be happy outside of his bounds, outside of his laws. I just want to be happy. Then get right with God. Why all of a sudden all this tattoo mess is going on? Well, it's gone crazy. I was in a place of business not long ago. One of the trucking companies' trucks backed into my Suburban and it's been in the shop getting fixed. They paid for it. So I had to go out to their place and get a check. They said the girl at the receptionist. Thank you. Duh. The receptionist. I don't know about this crowd. You might be dumber than I thought you were. Receptionist. And I went in and I saw there was a receptionist and she was a nice looking young lady, 25 to 35-ish. Nice looking. And I went over to get my check and I told her who I was and so on. She said, oh yes, and blah, blah, blah. And now that I see more than her face, she's covered in tattoos everywhere that's visible. And I wanted to ask her, but I didn't. What motivates that? Seriously. I mean, I'm not just poking fun of or, you know, trying to say I'm better than these people. I'm saying, what motivates that? What really motivates that? I don't know the answer except that it might be one of the macho crowd thinks it's sexy and hot for his girlfriend to get a tattoo, so they get started with that and that's the way they go. That's the only thing I can figure out. But there's part of the culture that does that now that the rest of the culture has not caught up with but is not far behind. I don't understand it. But it's all about sex and pleasure. The Babylonian Empire fell You remember, Belshazzar was having a big flamboyant party that night when it fell. It was not just a party. It was a drunken, filled with pleasure and so on, and he fell. Greece fell. They had the Temple of Diana. It was the worst place in the world. It was one of the seven wonders of the world at one time, the Temple of Diana. It had over 1,000 prostitutes in employment of worshiping this idol god, and it appealed to the masses because it was so sensual. And it's one of the things that God kept after Israel. He said, I told you when you came into the land of the Canaanites not to allow any of them to live and not to participate in their worship of the idol gods. It was part of that ritual, even in Israel. It's why it was so addicting and so appealing. It had a sexual innuendo and ritualistic actions that went part of worshiping those idol gods. Those Hebrews were so caught up in it. Oh, they gave God his dues in the temple, but they were fast to get back up to the grove where the idol worship went on. And the Temple of Diana was the great wonder of the world and part of the Greek culture. It was all based upon sex and pleasure. And they fell. You can still see evidence of the Greek body worship in some of the statues that have come through the ages that the Greeks were responsible. They worshiped the human body like crazy. The Rome was not much better. Rome fell from within because of sex and pleasure in the games. Modern day America is right behind. They say that Great Britain is 75 years ahead of us. If you look at the lack of morals in Britain at the present time, and you listen to the common folk speak about what they want and the pleasures they desire, if America is 75 years behind Britain and we are in this cesspool at the present time, I can't imagine how much farther down we can go, but apparently we can. The U.S. of A. has the highest teen pregnancy rate in the world. The entire world. More teenagers get pregnant in America because of more permissive mamas and daddies, because they think it's more of a priority to make sure that their children get on their birth control rather than they learn that it is God's will for abstinence and not to participate until you're married or suffer the consequences. America's reaping that. You can look at Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 24, and I'm not going to go back and read it, but Leviticus 18 and verse 6, 10, and 20, it opened your eyes. The last thing is this. We're reaping from religions in America that deny the Lord Jesus Christ. We've allowed them in. I've said before, and I say it again, we're stupid. We're a stupid nation. We have stupid politicians that are not interested in the well-being of America, or they would never have allowed in the name of democracy these false religions to come in. Now we have a mosque right down the road here, not very many miles. False religion in competition with God that deny the virgin birth, that denies the literal resurrection of Christ. All of those things that deny the evilness of man. They say within man is a spark of goodness, and we're working towards getting that to come out by this and this and something else. Hare Krishna, Hindus, Buddha, New Age, Muslim, Voodoo, Satanism, all have their places in America, and Christianity has a smaller bite and a smaller bite and pushed to the back more and more. Paul says in Psalm 51, verse 5, in sin did my mother conceive me. Yes, sin is the number one problem. But we're not talking about that in America. We're talking about everything else other than what the problem is. A heart problem, not a mind problem first. It's the heart problem first. Talking about reaping from religions that deny the Lord in America, I saw, by the way, in the ghettos and the back alleys of the big cities, Islam is taking over and growing faster than any other religion in America at the present time. It's appealing to them. I saw a sign not long ago, several years ago, actually. It was in Colorado, and it was encouraging people to wear shoes, wear tennis shoes while walking in the parks, and not to step on the grass, but if you have to step on the grass, at least wear soft-soled shoes so that you do not disturb the actual environment, so that you do not disturb the natural environment. It's more important. The environment is more important than the soul of an individual. The environment is more important than getting the wrongs right in America. You want to get everything right? You want to get everything back the way it was? Keep reversing all the junk that they put upon us and denied us. Put God back in the schools, the Bible back in the school. Yes, the name of our God back in the schools and the public places. And quit making it an unconstitutional. They said it's unconstitutional for you to deny a woman the right of abortion. And those Supreme Court justices made the ruling that it was never part of the Constitution to guarantee a woman the right to abortion. And that's true. It's not part of the Constitution not to deny the name of God either. But Madeline Murray O'Hare was single-handedly responsible for getting God out of America. It's pathetic that we don't have enough backbones to stand up. Every single politician in Washington, D.C. now, almost every single one of them are career politicians, and they're there to advance things so that they can get elected the next go-round and keep the money flowing into their bank accounts. I'm sick of all of them. You and I could do a better job in Washington, D.C. than they're doing at the present time. We need to clean house and get rid of all of them. That's my soapbox. Let's stand and be dismissed tonight. I get...